Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. How you doing? Thanks for tuning in. Hang out with us for a while tonight. We have hysterics just over the top of talk radio tonight. Right out of the box, I've got something to share with you here. But too much cappuccino Perino today worked her lightning lip magic on the S-chip veto override defeat in Congress today, calling it a victory for Bush. Check it. Poor kids lose, and Bush declares victory. Don't you love all that compassion in the phony conservative? We'll share some of that with you tonight, among other things. So I get this email this afternoon. Somebody sends me a link to an article at worldnetdaily.com. Now, I used to go on Talkback Live on CNN when that program was still around and debate some of these WorldNet Daily people. These people are insane. I mean, there's no question. Anyone who works for WorldNet Daily is a nutball, just like everyone who works for Fox News Channel is insane. But WorldNet Daily, they set the standard on insanity in not just politics, but just about everything else. They have posted their website the other day under the headline, "Mom," the word mom and the word dad have been banished by California. That's right. The subhead says, Schwarzenegger signs law outlawing terms perceived as negative to, quote, gays, end quote. Mom and dad banished with the stroke of Schwarzenegger's pen, the terms. Well, here's what it says. Listen to this. Mom and dad, as well as husband and wife, effectively have been banned from California schools under a bill signed by Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, who with his signature also ordered public schools to allow boys to use girls' restrooms and locker rooms and vice versa if they choose. Karen England, executive director of Capital Resource Institute, said, "We are shocked and appalled that the governor has blatantly attacked traditional family values in California. With this decision, Governor Schwarzenegger has told parents that their values are irrelevant. Many parents will have no choice but to pull their children out of the public schools that have now become sexualized indoctrination centers." End quote. Randy Thomason, president of Campaign for Children and Families, an organization that worked to try to defeat this bill, said, "Arnold Schwarzenegger has delivered young children into the hands of those who will introduce them to alternative sexual lifestyles. This means children as young as 5 years old will be mentally molested in school classrooms. Shame on Schwarzenegger and the Democrat politicians for ensuring that every California school becomes a homosexual, bisexual, transsexual indoctrination center." End quote. Analysts have warned that schools across the nation will be impacted by the decision, since textbook publishers must cater to their largest purchaser, which often is California, and they will be unlikely to go to the expense of having separate editions for other states. The bills signed by Schwarzenegger include SB 777, which bans anything in public schools that could be interpreted as negative toward homosexuality, bisexuality, and other alternative lifestyle choices. There are no similar protections for students with traditional or conservative lifestyles and beliefs, however. Meredith Turney, legislative liaison for Capital Resources Institute, said, quote, SB 777 will result in reverse discrimination against students with religious and traditional family values. These students have lost their voice as a direct result of Governor Schwarzenegger's unbelievable decision. The terms mom and dad or husband and wife could promote discrimination against homosexuals if a same-sex couple is not also featured. Now that SB 777 is law, schools will in fact become indoctrination centers for sexual experimentation, she added. Miss England told WorldNet Daily that the law, it's not a list of banned words, including mom and dad, but she said the requirement is that the law bans discriminatory bias. Oh, Jesus, God, you're kidding me. Having mom and dad promotes a discriminatory bias. You have to either get rid of mom and dad or include everything when talking about parental issues, she said. The promoters of alternative sexual lifestyles do consider that discriminatory, she added. Also signed was AB 394, which targets parents and teachers for such indoctrination through so-called anti-harassment training. Ms. Thomason, or is it Mr.? I don't even know. Thomason said SB 77 prohibits any instruction or school-sponsored activity that promotes a discriminatory bias against gender as well as sexual orientation. Oh, God, no. Oh, God, no. The Capital Research Institute went on, because no textbook or instruction in California public schools currently disparages transsexuality, bisexuality, homosexuality, the practical effect of FD 777 will be to require positive portrayals of these lifestyles at every government-operated school. Oh, dear God. Oh, dear God. Further, homecoming kings can now be either male or female, as can homecoming queens. And students, whether male or female, must be allowed to use the restroom and locker room corresponding to the sex with which they choose to identify. It also creates the circumstances where a parent who says marriage is only for a man and a woman in the presence of a lesbian teacher could be conceived as harassment. And a student who believes people are born either male or female could be reported as a harasser by a male teacher who wears women's clothes. Like Rudy Giuliani? Thomason said Schwarzenegger also signed AB 14, which prohibits state funding for any program that does not support a range of alternative sexual practices, including state-funded social services run by churches. Affected will be daycare centers, preschool, after-school programs, food programs, housing programs, senior services, anti-gang efforts, job programs, and others. Thomason said it also forces every hospital in California, even private religious hospitals, to adopt policies in support of transsexuality, bisexuality, and, oh God, homosexuality, and opens up nonprofit organizations to lawsuits if they exclude members that engage in homosexual, bisexual, or transsexual conduct. Thomason said, quote, "It's the height of intolerance to punish individuals, organizations, businesses, and churches that have moral standards on sexual conduct and sexual lifestyles. This is another insensitive law that violates people's moral boundaries." Ms. England went on, "The shocking hate mail we receive shows that those behind this legislation do not promote true tolerance. Only politically correct speech will be tolerated. Those with religious or traditional moral beliefs will not be allowed to express their opinions in public schools." WorldNet Daily has documented a number of earlier cases in which educators, including leaders in California, have taken it upon themselves to promote a homosexual lifestyle to children under their charge. WorldNet Daily reported California Superintendent of Public Instruction Jack O'Connell, under whose supervision hundreds of thousands of children are being educated, has used his state position and taxpayer-funded stationery to praise a gay pride event. That drew vehement objections from several educators, including Priscilla Schreiber, the president of the Grossmont Unified High School District Governing Board, who said,
"I am outraged that a person in his high-ranking elected position would advocate an event where diversity is not just being celebrated, but where pornography and indecent exposure is being perpetrated on the young and innocent children of our communities." Forget S-CHIP. Forget the defeat of health care for children. Concentrate on this. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, in signing this law, has banned the term mom and dad. Has banned the term husband. Has banned the term wife from being used in the schools in California. To our listeners in San Diego, in Los Angeles, in where else? In Sacramento, all up and down California. Are you aware of this? Oh, dear God. I don't know what to do. We're going to take a break. I've got to do something. Oh, I don't know what to do.
The ambulance, the deadpan of the cops. Chalked him up the outline where the boy first drops. Beware the Holy Trinity, church and state and law. For every death the virus gets more deadly than before. Homophobia, the worst disease. You can't love who you want to love in times like these. Homophobia, the worst disease. one to love.
Love and marriage, love and marriage, they go together like a horse and...
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. It's More Mike Malloy.
You know, that thing I just read to you, pretty much in its entirety from World End Daily, this country has become, as far as media is concerned, a cesspool, hasn't it? I mean, an absolute cesspool. During the break, I'm watching a bit of Dan Abrams on MSNBC, and come to find out, I hadn't heard the story yet, about Limbaugh threatening a reporter, threatening somebody at Time Magazine, threatening their children. We'll have the sound for that for you tomorrow. But right-wingers are losing it. They're losing it big time because they understand that their moment of mismanagement of this country is rapidly coming to a close. I think that's one of the reasons they're advocating war. They want to see more people die before they are tossed back onto the ash heap of history. This filthy, 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 filthy Representative Steve King, a Republican of Iowa, who voted against insuring poor children. You know, kids on who have the misfortune because of how the adults around them either are not taking care of things or fell onto hard times that were way beyond the adults' ability to control. Children like that do have Medicaid. But for the working poor and the I hate to use these terms, the lower rungs of the so-called middle class, what's left of it in this country, S-CHIP is a lifesaver, literally. Literally. And this filthy pig, Steve King, this Republican from Iowa, said that S-CHIP stands for, his words, socialized Clinton-style Hillary care for illegals and their parents. That's how rotten, I mean rotten right down to their filthy core, Republicans and conservatives are. It's just gotten to the point, and I'm glad to see this, because what I'm hoping, other than the 22% of Americans who are absolute Nazis, absolute Nazis. The other 78% of the people in this country who attempt to live a normal or a decent life. The Nazis are, I know that they're about to be squashed like a huge, fat, pregnant cockroach. And all the eggs that are clustered under their abdomen are going to be smashed too. Their end is at hand. So they don't care anymore. War with Iran, murder children in Iraq, force children in the United States to go without health care. This is insane. And every one of these rat bastards, I guarantee you, every one of the 23-24% of Americans who still identify themselves as Bushites would say they're Christians. Every one of them. You won't find a Muslim or a Jew or an atheist or a Hindu in that group. This is the bottom of the barrel. This is the swill. This is the trash and the crap. And these are the people who insist that they're doing God's will in murdering children in Iraq, in depriving children in this country of health care, and comprehensive child care. We live in a country where child care is a controversial issue. Thanks to these pigs, these filthy, rotten pigs. So, one by one, the cockroaches in the House and the Senate, the Republican cockroaches, are deciding, well, I'm going to get out of here. We had fun. Boy, didn't we screw things up. And they're running, and they're leaving. Even this Jabba the Hastert has decided he's not going to complete his term. I wonder why that is, huh? Maybe they found a huge, some kind of a parasite inside of his gullet. Just some huge flatworm that's eating him. You think? God.
You know, maybe there wouldn't be so many children out there who need S-CHIP if we had a system here where that we shut down the Walmarts and we raised minimum wage. And we stop sending American manufacturing jobs overseas.
Yeah, that's true. and if we had some decent leadership, and if we got past the idea of waging war, and if we got off of carbon-based death that is affecting the whole planet, and on and on. I hear you, Kathy, but I think the first thing that needs to be done is these roaches that are screwing around at the bottom of our political system need to be marginalized. I don't say hurt them. I just say turn them out forever, forever. Let them go live in communes. They seem to like that, where they can homeschool their people, their children, and tell their children, you know, Jesus and Mary and Adam and Eve had pet dinosaurs, and all the stuff you hear about evolution is just communist crap. And I feel sorry for the children. I frankly, you know, deep in my heart, I think that is child abuse. And I think parents who do that, it should be pointed out. Eventually, it is pointed out when the children wind up in therapy, when they become adults and they realize, wait a minute, nothing is working the way my parents told me it was going to work. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Nothing. Jesus. I can't get over it. But the WorldNet Daily thing. It's just astonishing to me that Schwarzenegger passes an anti or signs. He didn't pass it. The legislature did. Democrats and Republicans. And he signs a bill that says, okay, let's not discriminate against gay folk or transgendered folk. I mean, you know, why not? Let's just not do it. I mean, doesn't that make sense? And these mouth-breathing Christian right-wingers, the bottom of the barrel, the slime, the residue, come out with an attack like that. Dear God.
Standing up to the flying monkey right, it's more of Mike Malloy.
It's about 25, excuse me, before the hour. Just too much insanity today. The video of the bombing, the assassination attempt on Benazir Bhutto was astonishing to see. Excuse me, most of the video that I saw showed the bombing scene and then the second bomb going off. Ed writes in, this would be a good time for Bush to visit Bhutto in Pakistan for a couple of weeks. We have a pool going on how long she lives, and I have 10 days. It's horrifying. It's horrifying. And I think I know this is terrible, and a lot of people are going to say, Malloy, you're out of your mind now. But I think the person responsible for the assassination attempt on Benazir Bhutto is Musharraf, the current military dictator. He doesn't want to deal with this crap. He doesn't want to deal with this. So he probably went to, one of the private contractors operating right across the border in Afghanistan. He probably sent a message, hey, send me a couple of your people. I need a real effective car bomb that will wipe these bastards out who are coming here to bring, democracy back to my sad little country. So send me somebody. That's just my opinion. But you see, I don't trust any official story from any government source that has anything to do with the Bush crime family. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. If you are not adamantly opposed to the current regime running the United States, then I consider you to be a co-conspirator. And Musharraf, who overthrew the elected government with the military 6 or 7 years ago and assumed power, willingly giving up power, allowing an election, that'd be like Bush. That'd be like Karl Rove allowing an untampered with free election in the United States. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Not at all. The thing that freaks me out is at what point do these psychopathic Christian Republicans in the United States start using car bombs against our presidential candidates? When does that happen? When does that begin? That has me concerned, because they are capable. A religious fanatic is capable of doing anything because he or she is doing it in the name of his or her God. and therefore it's sanctioned. So as far as Bhutto is concerned, Benazir Bhutto, I don't know. I have no advice for these politicians. Keep in mind that when she left the country 7 or 8 years ago, I don't know how it was resolved, but she was accused of milking the Pakistan treasury of over $1 billion. You know, it's just, well. The Children's Health Insurance Program fell 13 votes short. 13. Today, when this cowardly group of murderous Republicans who are willing to vote for the death of Iraqi children by the hundreds, if not the thousands. You filthy bastards, you Republican so-called lawmakers, your God, when you finally die and you step into that little area of post-death consciousness where you stand there with your chest popped up and present yourself to your God, you know what he's going to do? He's going to rip your head off and urinate in your neck and then throw you into hell. That's exactly what's going to happen to you, because you people are so vile. You will vote to kill, to fund, to the tune of $12 billion a month to kill people in Iraq. Yes, sons of bitches. But 3 months of that war in Iraq, you will not part with to guarantee health services for 10 million American children. Now, what happens? Here's what happens. The stinking 5 million that Bush is proposing, which is 10 days worth of death in Iraq, will force literally millions of children off the rolls. Ah, you pigs. Ah, you pigs. I can't. It's getting more and more difficult for me to get my mind around some of this stuff. And I always talk about retiring, about getting out of this, because it's maddening. And I think to myself, no, just hold on to September 08. Just hold on, Mike. Hold on. I don't know. Steve King, Republican of Iowa. Anybody in Iowa listening to me, how can you people in Iowa put into office a filthy subhuman like Steve King, who votes against children's health care and then says that SCHIP stands for socialized Clinton-style Hillary care for illegals and their parents? Is that funny to you people in Iowa? Is that humor? Is that knee-slapping, pig-wallowing, tobacco-chawing, a gas station pumping humor to people in Iowa in this pig's district? How can you people put a subhuman like that into office to represent you? How do you do that? How do you do that? I mean, it's one thing to be pro-death. It's one thing to take your filthy Christianity, your bloody, degenerate Christianity, and try to bludgeon the world into submission so that your Jesus will see all the corpses and come back and say, "Oh, look, dead people, I'm going home." Which is not what he was about at all, but it's what you freaks believe. It's one thing for you to do that, to murder children around the world by refusing to have your filthy representatives fund AIDS programs in Africa if they even mention condoms. Ah, you pigs, you pigs. But it's something else again, isn't it, Iowans, to murder your own children? American kids? By denying them health care? God damn, what's wrong with people in this country? What's wrong? Calm down, Mike. John Boehner, another useless piece of human waste, Republican from Ohio and the House Minority Leader. What is wrong with you people in Ohio in the district that puts this piece of human waste into office? He says that Americans are tired of political games. It's a game to this piece of waste to want to guarantee children health care. My God. And to the two Democrats, I don't know who you are, and I don't care, the two Democrats who voted to sustain Bush's veto, I hope you burn in whatever hell you've constructed. Following today's vote, MoveOn.org has launched another round of ads featuring curly-haired 2-year-old Bethany Wilkerson holding a scrawled sheet of paper that reads, "Don't veto me." John Boner calls the ad despicable. "You piece of God, oh man." When the lights go out, he goes on my list too. Public opinion polls show that 75 to 80% of the people in this country supported the bill as it was vetoed. Not something different. The bill that this piece of human waste George Bush vetoed today. And that Boner and Mitch McConnell and this subhuman king from Iowa, that they all voted to sustain the veto. Americans supported it. These people are not even Americans. But Boner calls the ad despicable. The ad is despicable. His behavior, exemplary. He's a Christian, don't you know? Doing the work of the Lord. And the thing about S-CHIP, you know, all the lies that are out there, the families that get S-CHIP pay for it. They pay appropriate premiums. They pay co-payments. They have to pay. It's not a welfare program. That's Medicaid. S-CHIP is about means tested. Here's what you're going to have to pay. Here's in order to enroll. Here's what you're going to have to pay as a co-payment. But these filthy, subhuman, rat bastard Republicans have sold it to themselves, not the American public, except the 25% of these Christian thugs, Republicans, who are doomed to some kind of roach-infested hell when the time comes. But the rest of America understands what it's about. It's about health care for children. And from the standpoint of a child's health, you know, this argument about, well, you know, if we let this pass, all these little curtain climbers, their parents, irresponsible bastards that they are going to drop their private insurance and go get S-CHIP. Well, from the standpoint of a child's health, it's often a good thing to substitute S-CHIP for private coverage. Why? Because if you are like so many working class Americans and you can only afford substandard coverage and that drives you almost to the brink of bankruptcy, what are you supposed to do about your child? God damn them.
Okay. I get upset. I get angry. I go way over the top. I know. I wonder how many affiliates we lost because of that tirade. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Molloy.
I pray thy soul need Father Tempest to bring them home from anywhere. I live my to guide them through this world of strife. I hope and pray we'll live together in that great land hereafter life. I'm lonesome for my precious children.
One way you can help is to find a child who needs somebody older in their life to say, "I love you."
You hypocritical piece of human waste. Why do I go after the Christians so vehemently? Because they have a self-described savior who is pretty clear in his admonitions to the people who formed the Christian church. He was, you know, if you believe the texts, he was very clear. And I know very few political Christians, the vocal ones, the ones that are screaming all the time, who give a damn about what Jesus said. Mark 10:14, "Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. I wonder how many Christians in the Republican Party who've in the House who voted against this to override are familiar with that. Matthew 18:6. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Jesus said this. Matthew 18:10. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you, that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven. Matthew 18:14. Even so, it is not the will of your Father, which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish. These are the words of Jesus. Mark 9:42. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. He said it twice. Luke 17:2. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Three times, three of the Gospels. You filthy pig Republicans, Jesus is going to wait for you, rip your heads off, and throw you into hell. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit upon his glorious throne and all the nations will be assembled before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. And the good will ask, when did they see him and give him food? And the king will say to them in reply, amen, I say to you, whatever you did for one of these least brothers of mine, you did for me. Can you be any clearer than that? However, to those who do not care for the poor, he will say, depart from me, you accursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. For the judgment is merciless to one who has not shown mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister has nothing to wear and has no food for the day, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm, and eat well, but you do not give them the necessities of the body, what good is it? So also a faith itself, if it does not have works, it is dead. That's why I get on the asses of these fake Christians. It's in your book. It's in your book over and over and over and over again. It's in your book. You're in for a surprise. Those of you who, through the power of your unconscious, have constructed some sort of life after death arena. And when you step off this earthly coil with your selfishness and your greed and your inhumanity and your treatment of children, Jesus made it very clear, suffer the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God. In that moment of blinding light, you're going to have your soulful head snatched from your body and stomped on. And you're going to be cast into hell. Jesus said you would. Do you understand that? You filthy pigs.
But let's not talk about that. Arnold Schwarzenegger signed a bill today that's going to force people in school to stop saying mommy and daddy. going to force little children to stop saying husband and wife.
How do I know that? Because on the Christian-based WorldNet Daily, all sorts of Christian groups have placed the story out there.
I hate them. I can't explain. I know you people get tired of hearing this. I know you do. I get tired of saying it. But every time I see some sort of political action taken in the name of their twisted religion, their sick, sick, degenerative, foul, vile religion, I just go nuts. I go crazy because I have read the text. I have read it. I do understand the Bible. There's no one out there listening to this program, unless you're a preacher, who can out-Bible me. You can't do it. And that's why I get so angry. Because you're hypocrites and thieves. You steal the innocence of children. And God will damn you for that. He said His kingdom is made of children.
Whoa. All right, Malloy. Enough church. Oh, I get so angry. Man, I get angry. Let's take a break. Mikey will go get a nice glass of ice water and come back, and we'll conduct a normal program. This is Nova M Radio.
Sorry about that. I clear my throat into an open mic. Oh, no! Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. I have this issue came up today. I want to get to this very quickly. I got a bunch of emails today about my decision not to be on the air on November 6th, election night, as part of the protest, the Do Nothing protest, just stop, resist. Got a bunch of emails, and surprisingly, they were pretty much evenly split. Great idea, Malloy. No, Malloy, bad idea. Stay on the air so we can talk about the day. We don't have anybody at night to talk this over with. So I've got a conflict. This always happens. But as I've done before, I'm going to leave it up to y'all. I don't want to make a big deal about this, but I'm not sure what to do. I'm okay with either avenue. Taking the night off and playing a rerun of this program, or staying here to report on whatever does happen on November 6th and be your the touchstone for the people who listen to this program. So here's what I want you to do. It's time to vote again. Malloy producer, send your vote to Kathy. Yes, stay on the air. No, take the night off. That's all I need to say. Yes means be here November 6th. And put it in the subject line so we don't have to open it. Just put it in the subject line, yes or no. And send it to malloyproducer@aol.com. Yes, stay on the air. No, join the strike. Yes, stay on the air. No, join the strike. Okay? And there's no rush. You know, we'll ask you for your opinion on this over the next few days. So, because, if I'm going to talk the talk, I've got to be able to walk the walk, which I'm more than willing to do. On the other hand, I do feel, and I do, some sense of responsibility about doing this program. So, I'm okay with it either way, but I'm going to leave it up to y'all. And send your vote to Kathy, not to me, because I can't. I just, I can't.
do all that. She can. She's a producer. Put in the subject line. It's MalloyProducer@AOL.com. I know. Don't say anything about AOL. MalloyProducer@AOL.com. Yes, be on the air that night, Mike. No, join the strike. Yes or no? That's all. A couple of emails here. Yeah, I'm well aware that Ali Bhutto, Benazir Bhutto's father, was murdered. He was executed, actually, because he was put on trial. I think it was in 81. He was convicted of authorizing the killing of a political opponent. And there was a lot of talk that Ali Bhutto never did such a thing. But anyway, Peter in Delray Beach writes, as far as when will suicide bombers begin here in the U.S., the spark has already been lit with the likes of Eric Rudolph, a self-confessed religious fundamentalist convicted of bombing abortion clinics and others of his ilk who have murdered physicians as they were walking to work to perform an abortion. And the common thread is religious fundamentalist Christian dogma, hideous, psychotic, depraved. And let me see here. This is from, who sent this to me? Damn it. The fate of the United States is one day, I think this is Mike. The fate of the United States is that one day we will watch a middle school in the middle of the country. We will watch the children and the teachers and the principal and the workers die 1, 5, 10 at a time on CNN. And I think then and only then will we know what killing innocent children really means. And then this country will feel the pain. Yeah, Mayflower Mike. Okay. Yeah, you know, we've never had the hideous experience here in the United States of having our cities firebombed and our children blown up and burned alive with white phosphorus. We haven't experienced that. God forbid we ever should. But we are dumping that on so many other people around the planet. And I'm telling you, we're not going to escape the horrific, horrific karma that's being built up. It can't be escaped. And that has nothing to do with religion. That has to do with physics. We can't keep doing this. And as far as, you know, I get a lot of people who say, well, Malloy, you know, your rants are very entertaining, but, you know, at some point you've got to reach across the aisle and make common ground with right-wingers. And all the, what I usually respond to that, what I usually say is, no, I'm not going to do it, because even Jesus won't do it. I mean, even Jesus, 2,000 years ago, said, these people are going to go to hell. I'm going to put them there. He didn't offer, oh, okay, here, let's find some common ground. I'll tell you what, we'll just murder every other child. How's that? Huh? We'll let every other poor person starve. How's that? Want to cut a deal with your Lord and Savior? Here we go. No thanks. No thanks. So, let's do some phone calls here. We'll get to too much Cappuccino Perino in a few minutes. You're going to love, just 2 sound bites. You're going to love it. Let's start with Aram. Is that right? Aram, who's listening in Tucson, Arizona, on the internet. Is it Aram?
Yes, it is.
Welcome to the program.
How are you doing, Mike?
I'm doing all right.
I have absolutely no idea where to begin. I'm an assistant principal in Arizona.
Wait. You're fading. You're a what?
I'm an assistant principal here in Arizona. I actually work with children,
okay,
unlike the Republican Party. And one of my students, mother is extremely poor, just broke her knee.
Okay.
She was on her trampoline. She broke her knee. She tore her MCL, her ACL, and started healing wrong. The only reason she got the surgery was mom was a friend of a pediatric orthopedic surgeon.
Mm-hmm.
So he did it at cost. And the sad thing is that they have no idea who this girl is. They have no idea who any of these kids are that they just hurt.
Mm-hmm.
They have no idea. They talk about no child left behind, and then they leave them all behind.
Don't they?
And the sad thing is you don't want to mention their names, but I will. The two Blue Dog Democrats that voted for upholding the veto.
Well, I honestly don't know who they are. Say their names.
Gene Taylor of Mississippi, who represents the people of Biloxi and Hattiesburg.
Oh, my God.
And Gulfport.
Oh, my God.
and Jim Marshall of the 8th District of your home state.
Here in Georgia?
Yes, who represents Griffin and Fayetteville and Peachtree City.
Oh, my God.
And if you want to catch one more that I find interesting, which is why when I hear progressives supporting this guy, I want to literally throttle them.
Mm-hmm.
OBGYN and Libertarian Republican presidential candidate Ron Paul voted against this, leading me to believe that Republicans want live babies to make dead soldiers, and that Republicans believe in life before birth, life after death, and nothing in between. As George Carlin put it, because I just saw his show here in Tucson on Sunday, when you're proved, according to these Christians, and I use that word very, very, very disgustedly, mm-hmm. when you're preborn, you're fine. When you're preschool, you're screwed. And you do not understand how unbelievably anger doesn't begin to describe how I'm feeling right now.
Oh,
these people have hurt American children constantly, and nobody cares.
Well, I think a lot of us care, Aram. You do, I do, most people listen to this program
but
care.
Nobody listens to us. The people who need to care don't listen unless I have a $10,000 check.
Yeah. Well, hopefully that'll change November 8th, 2008. I hope it will.
If we hit more blue dog Democrats, it's not.
So Ron Paul voted against children.
Ron Paul voted against children.
Yeah, well,
and he's an OBGYN, for God's sake.
It doesn't surprise me, because a lot of people who just suck around Ron Paul like he's some kind of a savior, I've said it a million times, he's a right-wing libertarian, which means he doesn't believe the government should do anything, much less provide health care for children. Aram, I got to leave
Bye.
It there, pal. I appreciate what you had to say. Trust me, I share your passion. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
But know that it was just a dream. All the covers that I see are different from the books I read. Everything is crumbling around me. Why does everything cost so much money? Could somebody please help out my family? My mom needs hearing aids.
Important for the homeland security of America that we succeed. It is equally as important for generations of Americans who have yet to be born.
That singer, South African reggae star Lucky Dube, was shot dead in front of his son today, when he was hijacked. It doesn't make any difference where the children are, does it? Huh? For people who are reggae fans, you know who Lucky Dube is. We just somebody sent me an email about it. So as far as Ron Paul being one of the Republicans who voted against S-CHIP and his being a, I knew he was a physician. I didn't know he was an OBGYN. I guess I should have known that. Why is that a surprise? Why is that a surprise? The people who think that because Ron Paul is against the occupation of Iraq, that somehow he is a normal human being. He is not. He is not. He is another one of these selfish, degenerate, right-wing thugs who, in his case, believes that government has no function. He would turn government, everything. You think Blackwater is an irritation with Bush and a murderous organization that is ascending in this country? Turn the country over to Ron Paul and see what happens. For the people who think that Ron Paul is your savior, please get real. Look at his record. What the hell is wrong with people? Look up his record back in the 80s as the president, the Libertarian Party presidential candidate. Read his position papers. That's all. Back to your phone calls. AJ, the Music Factory, is calling from the Catskills in New York. Hey, AJ.
Hey, handsome. How are you tonight?
Ready to become incandescent here if I'm not careful.
Well, you know, I'm totally with you tonight as usual, and I'm sitting here. First of all, you know, good evening to you and the whole Malloy family. I'm sitting here thinking how I guess, like most people who call the show, you kind of, after you're finished, you hope you haven't made an idiot out of yourself, and you hope you can sit there and say, you know, I had something intelligent to add to the dialogue. But
right.
Tonight, I don't think I do. I am absolutely dumbfounded by this Democratic Congress, and the only thing I can offer is my heartfelt congratulations to Nancy Pelosi. Madam Speaker, you are as impotent as any man has ever been, a spineless, gutless woman. If you cannot reverse this kind of atrocity and you cannot hit back at a president with a 25% approval rating,
really,
what are we to believe you can do?
That's right.
I am absolutely tired. I spent a good deal of time talking to my mother about this very thing tonight, that, you know, one of the big differences between Republicans and Democrats, at least to my knowledge, is that Republicans aren't tired of Republicans, but Democrats sure as hell are tired of Democrats. And here we are, looking at one side as the side that we know to be immoral and the other side that we know to be totally impotent.
It's awful. I know.
It is horrendous. It is absolutely horrendous. And so I apologize, Mike. I don't have clever witticisms, you know, if I ever did, to offer tonight. And I don't have anything intelligent. I just have the, you know, sort of typical rant. And please don't apologize for your ranting. You know, we so need to be validated. I want to throw my vote in for election night. Yes, hell yes, have the show. I'll send my email in, but damn it, don't go anywhere, for God's sake. This is just awful. Just awful, and I'm tongue-tied. And I appreciate the opportunity to get on the air and be tongue-tied. I thank you for that. Maybe next week or in a couple of weeks I'll have something intelligent to add to the dialogue. But damn it, tonight I'm just, you know, you cannot blame the Republicans. You know the story of the scorpion and the frog, right?
Oh, sure, absolutely.
Okay, so this is the scorpion, and you don't blame the scorpion for being the scorpion. It's nature. But damn it. The Democrats were voted into office to take care of this.
Yeah.
What do we have left?
Well, the only thing I can think of is November 8th, 2008, AJ. You know, I keep putting my faith in the electoral system, and I keep getting dumped on. But maybe if we get a big enough Democratic majority in both the House and the Senate, and then we start picking off the rotten Democrats. Hey, pal, I got to leave it there. Thanks.
Peace, Mike. Thanks
All
for
right.
your good work.
Appreciate you checking in. We'll be back after the break, Truth Seekers. I'm Mike Malloy.
No more turning away from the weak and the weary. No more turning away from the cold.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
It's about 25 before the hour. Boy, the votes are running, what, 3-1? About 2-1 to stay on the program the night of the 6th. If you want to get a vote in here, I mean, this is not a big deal. It's just that, you know, I said last night I was going to take the 6th off and join everybody in this protest. Do nothing. You don't have to do anything. You just do nothing. And today I got some emails that said, well, okay, that's a great idea. Do it. And I got some emails that said, no, your job's different, Malloy. You got to be here so that we can talk about it. So I can go either way here, but I don't like hypocrisy. I don't like to people who talk the talk and won't walk the walk. I just can't do that. So I'm leaving it up to you. All you have to do is email Kathy, malloyproducer@aol.com. Just put it in the subject line. Don't put a message. Just put yes. What does the yes mean? Do the show. Yes, be on the air. No, don't do it. Join the strike. Okay, just yes or no. Yes, be on the air. No, don't be on the air. Yes, no. And that's what we're going to base it on. So if you don't mind helping me on this one, okay? I didn't think it was going to be, the vote was going to be like this. And it's okay, either way. I mean, really, either way is okay with me. I hate not being on the air. I hate it. I'm like somebody who uses terrible, terrible bad drugs, you know, and when they take away my bad drugs, which in this case is this radio program, I just go, oh, I'm sweating, I've got stomach cramps, I'm going to have diarrhea, please open the mic! Back to your phone calls. Jamie is calling from San Diego, listening, but not for long, on KLSD. Hey, Jamie.
Hello?
Hey, Jamie.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, I was going to say one thing, but I've changed my mind. This thing on November 6th reminds me of the French concept of the general strike.
Yeah, that's what we've been talking about earlier in the week. Yeah.
It occurred to me a while ago that if the French were had a government that was, you know, like a 30% approval rating and was pursuing a war that had an even lower approval rating, they would paralyze that country.
Oh, they'd bring it to its knees. So
and
yeah.
That government would be out within a week.
Yeah,
and it occurred to me, there you have a government that's afraid of its people, and I like that.
I do too. I do too. I think that's what Jefferson talked about. The people should never fear government. Government should fear the people.
And it's a way to have the other thing Jefferson talked about, which is a revolution every 20 years or so, every generation or so.
If it's necessary,
With no bloodshed.
With no bloodshed?
Well, in France, yeah.
Oh, in France, yeah. Because I think Jefferson is very explicit about the Tree of Liberty being watered, that's not the word he used, with the blood of tyrants and patriots.
Yeah, but if you have the country paralyzed, you don't need to do that.
That's true. You don't. And I've seen in 20 or 30 years of paying attention, I've seen government after government forced to either change its policies or resign because the people said no, we're not doing this any longer. And I look at what's going on here, and I just wonder, what in the hell has happened to us?
You mean, why are we taking it?
Why are we not bringing this country to an absolute standstill until Bush and Cheney and the rest and his cabinet and everybody connected with him leaves Washington, D.C. in shame, and we can put in a government that knows how to govern. Oh. But we're not.
You know, there's another thing I don't get. If I was a fat cat, and I assure you I'm not, I wouldn't want to be a fat cat over a land of abject poverty and poor health.
That's right.
I'd want to have it pretty nice around me.
Sure.
What are these people doing? What are they doing to themselves? Do they even care what happens to the rest of the country?
Apparently not. I don't understand it. The only way I can understand it, one of two ways. First of all, they are Christian dominionists, and that's too easy for me to say, and I understand that. And therefore, they believe that they're among the chosen by Jesus.
I don't believe that for a second.
Okay. The other group, the other point of view then, is that these are people who believe that everything started going to hell when the Magna Carta was agreed to or written, that the way the world should be run is the nobility, the priesthood, and the serfs. And we don't have that. Jefferson and the boys tried to come up with something, as other countries have tried to come up with something, using models from Native Americans or Greeks or whoever, of egalitarian living, of democracy, small d. And the right wing, the neo-fascists, I don't care at what time in history or in what country, don't like that. What they like is the nobility, the priesthood, and the serfs. End of story. And that's what they are trying to instill in this country. Destroy this country economically to the point where people, the vast majority, are serfs. And you have your priesthood, and they're safe, the Christian fundamentalists or whomever, and then you have the nobility. So, no, you wouldn't like to live in that society, nor would I.
Do you think it's that conscious? Do you think they know what they're doing?
No, because most of them are ignorant as dirt, and I don't think they understand history. If you walked up to Sean Hannity, for example, and ask him, "Hey, Sean, what's the Magna Carta?" and give him 30 seconds to give you a quick answer, or just stop a right winger coming out of a fundamentalist church and say, "Hey, what's the Magna Carta?" or stop a Republican and ask them. You know, how many times do they have to do these polls where they present to people in the street the first 10 amendments to the U.S. Constitution, in other words, the Bill of Rights, only they just reword it. They take it out of the legalese.
Right, right, right.
And just reword it into common English. And isn't it true that every time they do this, the majority, I'm not saying the vast majority, but the majority, 50% plus at least one, say, "Oh, no, 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 I don't want any of that stuff."
Yeah, it's too much. Yeah.
It's too much freedom.
Amendment. They love that.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, Jamie, I got to leave there. Thank you, sir. All right, appreciate you checking in. Take care. Didn't mean to hang up on you so quick. I'm sorry. All right, I want to do too much cappuccino perino here real quick before we lose the momentum of the program and I start preaching again. This is from the press briefing today. Lava Lips was in overdrive defending Bush's Christian attitude toward poor, uninsured children in America. This reporter asked Spinderella for a reaction to mounting criticism that the giggling killer wants to keep funding the slaughter of Iraqi children, but has no money for our poor, sick kids back home. The reporter says, "Would you like to respond, Dana, to Congressman Pete Stark's statement on the House floor during the debate when he said, quote, 'We don't have the money to fund the war or the children, but you're going to spend it to blow up innocent people if we can get enough kids to grow up, to grow old enough for you to send to Iraq to get their heads blown off for the president's amusement?'"
There's no doubt that American taxpayers are spending a lot of money in order to help fund our troops in Iraq and protect our country from an unprecedented threat from Al-Qaeda. And the president doesn't apologize for that. I think that's the priority. That's where the money can be spent. But what I will tell you is this president has us on a path to get a budget surplus by 2012. But he's only going to be able to do that if he can make sure that Congress holds the line and doesn't overspend. And that's why you see these veto threats out there, and that's one of the reasons we're winning on this debate on SCHIP, and we're going to win on the other ones, too.
Another follow-up. The argument you've been making about Democrats, you know, waiting, delaying for this vote, how is that any different than the amount of time the vote was delayed, alleged deal-making to get the Medicare prescription drug passed?
Look, thankfully, that's one of the things I can say was before my time here. But I think that there are times when you delay votes, and that's one of the ways that the game is played. We won this round on SCHIP.
We won this round. It's a game to these filthy, filthy subhumans. It's a game. Bush wins. Children in America, children in Iraq, children around the world lose. We won. We won this round. We win. We win. Sis boom ba. Sikasaka, sikasaka. Hoi, hoi, hoi. So how does the neutron blonde defend Bush's outrageous statements about Iran's desire to initiate World War III? Remember that yesterday? This reporter says, Dana, the president's World War III comments yesterday has spawned a lot of reaction. Today, Iran's foreign ministry spokesman said it was warlike rhetoric that would, in his words, jeopardize peace. By raising World War III, he wasn't overstating the dangers?
No, the president was making a point that this is a country that has said that they want to wipe Israel off the face of the earth.
Oh, my God.
The president has long said, and I don't think no one would want the president of the United States, any president of the United States, to take any option off the table. It is a country that is sending its foreign fighters into Iraq that are targeting our troops, killing our troops and killing innocent Iraqis. They are a state sponsor of terrorism, especially Hezbollah. And the world community, through the United Nations Security Council, has said that Iran should not be allowed to have a nuclear weapon.
Not really. But hey, Dana, Ahmadinejad never said that he wants to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. Jesus Christ, can't you people ever tell the truth? Ever? And even if he did, Dana, this is not Israel. This is the United States of America. For Christ's sake, it's our country! Who do you represent, Dana? In the first place, Ahmadinejad never said that. We had the absolute Farsi translation, word for word, on this program. Oh, but Dana doesn't listen to this program. Of course not. But if I can have the Farsi word-for-word translation, she can't? A country that's sending its foreign fighters into Iraq? That's us. Killing innocent Iraqis? That's us. State sponsor of terrorism? That's us. My God.
I'm freaking out, I'm sure. Like, those things that, like, stick in your mouth are so gross. Got your saliva all over them. But, like, I don't know, it's going to be cool, you know, but I can, like, see my smile. It'll be, like, really cool. Except my, like, teeth are, like, too small. But no, baby, it's so awesome. It's, like, tubular, you know. Well, I'm not, like, really ugly or anything. It's just, like, I don't know. You know me. I'm, like, into the, like, the clean stuff, like, Pac-Man and, like, I don't know. Like, my mother, like, makes me do the dishes. It's, like, so gross. Like,
has he mentioned yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's more Mike Malloy.
It's about 9 before the hour. A couple of quick emails here on Ron Paul. Jean in Florida writes, Mike, one thing I'd like to point out is Ron Paul's opposition to the Iraq War. I believe that what turns Ron Paul off about the war is not the slaughter and senseless loss of life, but rather the money being spent. That's what is really behind Paul's so-called anti-war stance. He's just ticked off at his tax money being spent. Typical meat-headed libertarian. Gene of Florida. And then Bryant in Richmond writes in about Ron Paul. The subject line says he's tired. And then Bryant writes, at 72, he's tired in body, but you should... I don't know what you're saying here. I'll just guess. You should invite Ron Paul on your air before unloading on him. Anyone can and does change his mind on occasion over 30 years. I don't know what that means. It's my understanding Paul ranks bad government a rung below that which may be good. I don't understand that either. Ask him. If he can't make it, bash away. If he's not prime for your air, well, then take the medicine. We're talking about running the show, and many have failed. All right, I'm not sure exactly what you're saying, Bryant, but it's... I have very little respect. Well, no. Let me rephrase that. I have no respect for right-wing libertarians. There's a lot of left libertarians that I appreciate their point of view. But right-wing libertarians are social Darwinists of the worst kind. If you can't make it on your own, and nobody really makes it on their own, if you can't make it on your own, if these people ever got in power, you would die by the side of the street. Every single workable, until George Bush, government agency would be ended, with the exception of the U.S. military, and that would only be used to defend our borders. And I doubt if a real right-wing libertarian would even allow the military to stand. He would turn it over to private enterprise. That's their whole thing. Jesus, go back and read Ayn Rand. Read Atlas Shrugged. Read what was the other? I'm going way too fast for the kid. The Fountainhead. Read libertarian fiction. Read libertarian political thought. They believe in a government that does nothing, that doesn't even meet on a regular basis. You cannot run a country of 300 million people that way. You can't run a country of 1 million people that way. It can't be done. Unless you divide your society into the elite and the serfs. And I'm not going to play that way. Not with a Republican, not with a Democrat, and damn sure not with a right-wing libertarian. So anybody who wants to make apologies for Ron Paul, he's tired. Christ, I'm tired. So what? I'm not advocating the total dismantling of government. And then what? You know, a libertarian, I've said this before, it's a cheap shot, but it's true. A libertarian's idea of a protected marketplace is to let enough people eat enough poison food, enough people drive enough cars that explode when you turn the ignition key on, enough people take an elevator up to the 10th floor and the cables break, and then people will choose other forms of eating meat or driving a car, riding an elevator. But for Christ's sake, don't let government regulate it. That's insanity. That's libertarianism. That's Ron Paul. So stop with the emails to me. Send them to somebody who gives a damn, because I don't. A libertarian of Ron Paul's ilk will never, ever, ever get into power anywhere. Because even these evil, filthy Republicans understand that in having government regulations, it opens the door for them for corruption. So, Ron Paul, people, save your breath, where it can, or your whatever the hell you save. All right, it looks like I am going to do the show November 6th. What is it running now, Kathy? About 5 to 1, stay on the air? Okay, well, I thought it was a pretty good idea, and so did our friend Bob at superbeans.com. And Bob writes, you know, to keep talking about it, and I will. I will. If I don't recommend that emergency room operators or doctors or people that that have these critical life and death jobs should not show up. I would never advocate that. You know, as far as this job, you know, doing what I do, you know, I think it's eminently replaceable. But the point that people made in the emails today, look, you know, go ahead if you need to make that kind of a statement. But it would be nice to have you on the air so that we can talk about what happened that day. Keep it contemporary. So, like I say, it's running about 5 to 1 now in favor of being here. And I'm not looking forward to January 6th as a day off. You know, I probably would have choked to death on that day anyway. Or I'm sorry, November 6th. What did I say? January 6th? November 6th. I would probably sit here in the studio on November 6th, tapping my hand. That's what Larry Craig does. Tapping something and sitting here, damn, why did I decide not to be on? Damn it! Why did I? We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
a drunk in a midnight choir. I have tried in my way to be free. Like a fish on a hook, like a knife from an old-fashioned book, I have saved.
Oh my, it's about 7 past the hour. Welcome back. Regarding Ron Paul, Dee Dee writes in, Mike, if anyone saw Ron Paul on The Daily Show, he was straight up and said he'd do away with everything, parks, roads, etc., and he would favor imprisonment for doctors doing abortion. Man, he's a whack. Thanks, Dee Dee. No, I didn't see him on The Daily Show. But I do understand, I think I understand, libertarian philosophy. And that is every man, generically speaking, for himself. Every person for himself. Martin at Purdue writes in, Mike, funny you brought up Ayn Rand. One of his son's first name is Rand. Yeah, well, yeah. And Ron writes in, Mike, the subject line of this email, and the subject line says, what to do? The subject line of this email is the title of a novel by Leo Tolstoy. He wrote it after visiting the slums of Moscow. It was said that at one point he wildly tossed all the money he had in his pockets to the people there in a fit of despair and helplessness. My son is presently on S-chips and has asthma, so he needs a regular and very expensive medication. My wife and I work as freelancers and don't make enough to afford insurance for ourselves, let alone our son, and we make too much for Medicaid. What to do? My son's affliction is in part due, in my mind, to the Shrubs Clear Skies initiative that treats the regulation of air pollution like a game of three-card Monty. For I read somewhere that one study found the amount of mercury and arsenic in women's breast milk has doubled in the last 4 years, mainly because of an increase of electricity generated by coal, thanks to the power brokers with Peabody Coal Lobby. It should be understood by now that the government of this country no longer represents the will of the people. So what to do? What to do? Save our children by any means. And believe me, if you ever saw a child retract from not being able to breathe, I don't know what it would take beyond that to inspire a person to civil disobedience. 1776, 1789, 1917, 2007. Come on, folks, it's time, and it's our country, that is, if we fight for it. Ron. Well, truth be told, Ron, I know exactly what you mean, because my son Chris, who is now 28, he did not have classic asthma. He had asthma-like bronchitis that would develop every time he got an upper respiratory infection. And he was on the inhalers. What was the drug, Kathy? Albuterol. And before that, he took some other. At one time, he was on two or three drugs, Ron. And at the time, I had no health insurance, and we did not have S-CHIP or Peach Care here in Georgia. So it was a cash and carry for me. And I was making some money, so the inhalers cost about $45 a piece at the time. And three times in my son's life, when he was 6, 8, and 9, I had to rush him to an emergency room, a hospital here in Atlanta. Now, my son Chris now is, I don't know, how tall is Chris, Kathy? About 6'2", weighs about 175, 180, solid muscle. He was a fireman over in South Carolina. Now he's studying to be a nurse. He's a very solid young man. And the doctors back then said that he eventually would outgrow this. Well, he finally did. He was able to get rid of the inhalers, and that's only been in about the past 5 years, about the time he hit his early 20s. He outgrew it. So Chris does not suffer from what Ron's son suffers from, the classic asthma. But the symptoms were exactly the same. And there is nothing scarier than when your child, when your six-year-old is going, and you're watching his stomach being sucked up into his lung cavity as he struggles to get in air. And you've never had a scarier night than when all of a sudden you hear your son in his bedroom gasping for air and you have to go in and beat on his, you percuss him. I've forgotten all the terms now. But I had to put Chris across my lap sometimes and just pound the hell out of his back. Now, I've been through it. I know what you're talking about. And had someone denied me care for my child when that was happening, I don't know what I would have done. I would have gone berserk. Now, emergency rooms, of course, like George Bush so famously said, that's where you can take your kid if you need emergency health care. And three times in Chris's young life, I had to do that. And, yeah, Ron, I hear you. It's very scary. It's very scary. And, being a parent, those of us who are parents, even those of us who are not parents, if you have nieces and nephews, you know what I'm talking about. You do anything for your kid, unless you're a Republican. If you're a Republican, you don't give a goddamn about your kid. You don't. Because if you did, you wouldn't be a Republican. You know, prima facie evidence that you hate your child. You're a Republican. Period. Oh, you don't like that? Tough. It's the truth. Truth hurts. Back to your phone calls. Josh is calling from Madison, Wisconsin, listening on the mic. Hey, Josh.
Is that me?
That's Sweet. You.
Hey, remember the 5th of November, the gunpowder treason and plot? I know of no reason why the gunpowder treason should ever be forgot. Guy Fawkes Day? November 5th, actually, not the 6th. But if you've ever seen V for Vendetta or, read the graphic novel,
yes.
A fantastic revolutionary thing.
It is.
I can't believe no one's mentioned that about this whole November 5th, November 6th thing. I'm going to be out with a ton of people in Madison doing a revolutionary thing all over downtown on the 5th, but sadly I actually have to work on the 6th. But I just thought I'd mention that because I'm actually, oddly enough, I have to work a job to pay the rent to drive on the lovely socialist highway that I'm driving on right now. My government made this highway, and I'm actually enjoying it. But
I've
got some friends who are libertarians, and I think I should make them stay home and not use our roads and not drink our water unless they pay for it. They should have to buy everything themselves. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know when the definition of this country became, the whole every man for himself thing. It doesn't make any sense. But I don't want to live with these people. That's the problem. You know?
I hear you.
25% of these people and that still support the president. I don't see how. That's the problem, I think, essentially, is you have these people who are creating this bulwark against, I don't want to call it progress, I want to call it people not dying. God forbid a penny of their money went to help someone who might actually need it,
I hear you.
So I've got a huge argument going on with some friends of mine online, and they're huge Ron Paul supporters, too. And it occurred to me, if I were moving, maybe I would want Ron Paul to run the country, because he could box everything up and take it out. I mean, if I want to shrink my house and move stuff out, I want Ron Paul to label everything and help me move. Because there'll be nothing left when he's done.
Yeah, that's true.
But I don't want to live there. But actually, the reason I called was the baby trap. And I mentioned that it's here, your call screener, who I was hoping was Kathy. But it's the Christian baby trap. You're not allowed to use any kind of contraception. You're not allowed to have any kind of family planning. You're not allowed to have abortion, certainly. But if you have a kid and you can't afford it, God help you. You're completely screwed.
Sure.
But then again, Mary and Joseph didn't have health insurance, as far as I recall, and they didn't have a job. So they were being irresponsible by having Jesus.
Yeah, but they were given gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
By their neighbors. Had they been libertarians, they'd have been kicked out of the of the manger they were in, and they'd have been wandering on the street.
That's very true.
It sickens me, Mike. It sickens me. And the thing is, I'm lucky enough, I work like a 2-to-10 shift at night, so I can listen to Randy all the way through you, and then I go home and watch Keith, and then I watch The Daily Show, too. So I get like 15 hours of lefty propaganda every day, and I'm amazed my head is exploding, because it's all true, and I'm sickened by it.
Oh, my God. 15 hours of maddening left-wing propaganda. Hold on to reality, Josh.
I'll see what I can do.
What little shreds are left for you, okay?
I'll see what I can do, man. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Josh. Bye. I appreciate you checking in. Okay, my pronunciator has sent me an email. It's not Ayn Rand, it's Ayn Rand. Thank you, pronunciator. I rely on my pronunciator. It's hard for me to pronounce words that represent philosophies with which I totally disagree. Ayn, as in Ayn Zwei. No, I've got that. Eins, zwei, drei. Oh, no. No more pronunciators on the German 1, 2, 3. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
little piggy's life is getting worse. Always having dirt to play around in. Starched white shirt. You will find bigger piggies stirring up the dirt. Always have clean shirts to play around
your nightly ammunition against right-wing rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
Do you think she's good enough?
Mm-hmm. 21 past the hour. Bob at superbeans.com has written to me, Mike, tuning in late tonight, somebody has to make dinner. If you could ask your listeners as they surf around and come across any information about the general strike on November 6th, I'll put it up on my general strike page. Between now and the 6th, I'll be a clearinghouse for strike information, city by city, state by state. All info can be mailed to me at Bob Alex, B-O-B-A-L-E-X, Bob Alex at superbeans.com. Bob Alex at superbeans.com. I don't know if Bob heard, but we're in the middle of a vote process about my taking part in the strike. And so far, I have to tell you, it's running five to one, Kathy? About five to, Jesus, against my being off the air the night of November 6th. And if you're listening now, Bob, because it was your letter that really got me thinking about this a couple of days ago, I decided to put it up to the audience because I got letters supporting the idea, emails, and emails saying, no, be on the air November 6th. So, so far it's running about 5-1 against my being off the air. But if as you get information about the strike, send it to Bob. Bob Alex. Bob Alex at superbeans.com. He sent me an email earlier today because of his position. You know, he runs a commercial website. He's got lots of subscribers, and he you know, he sells Hawaiian Kona coffee via the internet. And because of he sends out newsletters to his members that are anti-war, that are pro-peace, that are pro-common sense. And he sent me an email today, earlier today, that included some of the hateful, filthy emails he's gotten. He's a small businessman. But because he takes a position of no war, and you know, he takes a liberal democratic position, he's got people canceling their accounts with him because of his position. You know, since you're anti-American, Bob, I'm not going to buy any more coffee from you. Stuff like that. What the hell? Oh, well, I already went through this tonight. Not going to go through it again. But anyway, if you get any information that you want to be put up on this website, send it to him. Bob Alex, B-O-B-A-L-E-X, Bob Alex at superbeans.com, and he'll post it at his website. Back to your phone calls. R.W. is calling from Chattanooga, listening on the internet. Our good friend R.W., how you doing, pal?
I'm pissed off. You know why I'm pissed off?
No, why?
This damn FISA bill that they've passed or going to pass, the so-called checks and balances they're going to have in it, it apparently is gone by the wayside. And they've Republicans have outmaneuvered the Democrats, and they're going to work in that little retroactive protection of the phone companies who've been violating our privacy.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not sure why. You know, if there's been no violation of law, isn't that what Gonzalez said? There has been. Doesn't Bush say there is no violation? If that's the case, why does Verizon and the rest of these companies need legislative protection?
Oh, here's there's one small problem with this whole situation. That's a good point. The same section of the Constitution, and I forget the exact article, that forbids the suspension of habeas corpus.
Right.
Is also also forbids ex post facto laws. That means writing laws after the fact.
Right.
You can only, it's a basic principle of our legal system. You can only criminalize or decriminalize future actions. You can't affect past actions.
Right.
So this whole thing is unconstitutional. And I would like to encourage everybody to call your senators and call your congressmen and remind them of that simple little fact of our American Constitution, that this little provision that they're wanting to pass is unconstitutional.
But R.W., isn't just about everything this bastard has done and his government has done that affects the constitutionality of our little toy republic, isn't all of it? Hasn't all of it been unconstitutional?
Pretty much, but, you know, it's not a, you know, we need to start raising Cain and raising hell. It's not, you know, the hell of doing nothing. Let's raise some hell. Let's melt some phone lines here, folks. And I'm going to do it. I'm in a red state. All three of these suckers are in my state are Republicans. My, you know, Zach Womp, my two senators.
Oh,
I'm going to go and give them hell.
I'm your neighbor.
And I'm going to encourage everybody in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and everywhere else to do the same. And I want everybody else in this, who can hear this transmission to do the same.
I hear you. All right, R.W., it's a good idea. Thanks for holding on as long as you did.
No problem, man. It's good to hear you on the air.
All right, take care. We used to be on in Chattanooga, didn't we? All right, stick around. Break coming. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
I've heard their stories, heard them all, but love's the only engine of survival. Your servant here, he has been told to say it clear, to say it cool. It's over. It ain't going any further. And now the wheels of heaven stop. You feel the devil's riding crop. Get ready for the future. It is murder.
The Mike Malloy Show. You are now entering a flying monkey free zone.
It's about 25 before the hour. Interesting, I got two emails back to back here, one from Kathy in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and one from Kathleen in Austin, Texas. And they both say essentially the same thing. Kathy in Green Bay writes, R.W. in Chattanooga is correct. In fact, this is about Chris Dodd placed a hold on the FISA bill and his take on ex post facto laws. In fact, Overman asked the same question of John Dean last night or the night before. You can't criminalize something that's already been done, but you can immunize someone or everyone for something that they already did. The constitutional prohibition is for the former, not the latter. As for amnesty for the telecoms, Senator Chris Dodd has placed a hold on that bill. Here's what he said. Quote, the Military Commissions Act, warrantless wiretapping, shredding of habeas corpus, torture, extraordinary rendition, secret prisons, no more. I've decided to place a hold on the latest FISA bill that would have included amnesty for telecommunications companies that enabled the president's assault on the Constitution by illegally providing personal information on their customers without judicial authorization. I said that I would do everything I could to stop this bill from passing, and I have. It's about delivering results, and as I've said before, the first thing I will do after being sworn into office is restore the Constitution. He means as president. But we shouldn't have to wait until then to prevent the further erosion of our country's most treasured document. That's why I'm stopping this bill today. Indicate your support for my hold, as well as your thoughts on this issue, in the comment section below, and then you go to his website, action.chrisdodd.com. And then Kathleen writes, Chris Dodd is on the Intelligence Committee, announced that he will put a hold on the bill. Pat Leahy says that his Judicial Committee will have a real problem approving the immunity part of the bill, and so will others on his committee. So I think that all may not be lost. Thanks to Kathleen and Kathy. I hope Leahy, you know, I've watched so many of these Democratic senators. There's a typical Freudian so-called slip. So many of these Democratic senators turn into mush after they've made statements that they're going to do this and going to do that. So I hope Pat Leahy comes through. Back to your phone calls. Alex is calling from Scottsdale, Arizona, listening on KPHX. Hey, Alex.
Hey, Mike. I had a little personal situation. My son's a part Native American Indian.
Uh-huh.
And the wait at the Indian Hospital here in Phoenix is like anywhere from 8 to 10 hours sometimes. You've got to go in if your kid's sick, and you got to get in line, you got to go to the desk, get his records, and then you got to sit there and wait for the emergency room guys to do something for you.
Right.
And then if it's something that is ongoing, then they've got to make an appointment through them to the hospital at a later date.
Yeah.
So my ex and her infinite wisdom says, well, you know, we can't have this. What if there's an emergency and something really goes bad? I can't have him waiting there, you know?
Yeah.
And it's so far away. So it's like, you know, now he's got his own personal insurance on top of the fact that because the way they run the hospital and because there's all these other people that show up there because they want their free health care. Because they're listening to the presidents, and most of them are immigrants. So they can't deny, service to anyone. So there's this long, big, drawn-out line. And that's for somebody that was native to this country, was an American first, and they can't even get health care.
Let me ask you, Alex. I mean, that's a tragic situation. It really is. I've been there. But I need to ask you. You understand, don't you? The problem is the system, not the fact that immigrants are there.
No, and I know that. And I told that to the screener when I called in. I said, you know, I'm not a racist. And, you know, I know a lot of people. And I'm, you know, I got family members that are immigrants.
Right. Me too. Me too.
And, you know, by marriage and stuff like that. And, you know, I have nothing against these people.
I hear you. I understand.
And I'm not blaming them, but because everything's overcrowded, you know.
Yes, it's awful. It's horrifying. When I used to have to take my kid to the emergency room because of asthma attacks, the triage method was used, of course. When I brought Chris in, and he's gasping for breath and starting to go cyanotic around his, his lips and his fingertips.
And starting, his eyes and everything, yeah.
Yeah, starting to turn blue, they would immediately take him in. I don't ever remember, and this is back in the day when, you know, I did not have health insurance. Had to pay as I went, but in a case like that, health insurance or not, you go to the emergency room. So I understand what you're saying. What do you see as a solution?
They need more money. I mean, they've only got so much money to work with and so much staff on hand. They're overworked. I mean, it's another thing, you know. And if they're complaining about this and they're going to cut money off there, you know, look at the Indian Services. You know, those guys are in definitely dire need of extra funds.
Mm-hmm.
And they fight for it all the time through their congressmen and stuff like that. But, you know, it's just insane.
I hear you. I hear you, Alex.
You know, and the other thing is I hate to beat a dead horse dead, but, you know, these congressmen and these people, they all have full coverage. Their kids have full coverage. And it's like, you know, they're already on the poke.
Sure.
You know, I went to Canada back in the 80s when I lost a bunch of money due to the recession back then, or you want to call it we didn't get funded on our mall project, so I lost millions of dollars. And I got used to it, and it was, you know, it took me a bunch of years, so I decided to go to Canada for a while. And I went to Canada, and I was applying for citizenship there, and it was just taking way too long, so I decided to come back to America.
Mm-hmm.
And then I came across the border, and I got held there for a while, because they wanted to know why I was there so long. And I said, well, I was applying for citizenship, and I got screwed by the recession, so what do you think?
Yeah, yeah.
And it was a little bit more convoluted than that, too, you know, because it was like, what they want to do is they want to hold you. And then my ex at that time came in and says, you know what, they dislodged the heater. It's like 50 below out here. And, like, if you don't come out and fix this, I'm going to raise holy living snot. And she walks out the door, slams the door, and breaks the windows to the border customs place.
Oh, my God.
And the guy that's running the place looks at me and he goes, promise me you won't come through here again. I said, I'm not going to Canada for probably the rest of my life. Right. I said, you know, but he says, if you keep her out of here and you go fix the heater and put the wire on, he says, you're good to go. He says, you know, it was just the fact that, you know, we were checking you out and this is our policy. And that was like 1987.
Yeah, there are a million stories in the Naked City, aren't there, Alex?
Oh, there are.
I hear you, pal. Listen, take care. Take care. I appreciate you checking in. Dan is calling from St. Louis, Missouri, listening on Sirius. Hey, Dan.
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I am a Ron Paul supporter, by the way.
Yeah.
Why? I'm sorry.
No, that's right. No, you don't have to apologize. I just wonder why.
Ron Paul is not against the state of New York running as big a welfare system as they want. They're not against the state of Georgia running as big of a welfare system as they want. They are, you know, in the realm of the Constitution, they're allowed to do that. There's nothing stopping them. But you're basically saying Ron Paul's going to go around and take food out of children's mouths, which is totally wrong.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I'm saying. Yeah, because the food stamp program would end, Department of Agriculture would disappear, and black people would become three-fifths of a human being again for the purpose of a census.
There's no food stamp program in the state of Georgia.
It's run by the Agriculture Department. The state of Georgia may have a hand in it, but it's run by the United States Department of Agriculture, which would disappear.
Well, the state of Missouri that I live in, we have a food stamp program.
And it's partly run, if not wholly run, by the United States Department of Agriculture.
Well, you know, Mike, if people would Google or...
No, wait. What I'm doing is destroying your sentence that Ron Paul doesn't want to take... Hold on. That Ron Paul doesn't want to take food out of the mouth of children. Of course he does. Absolutely. There's no question that he does. Because in destroying the food stamp program, by disassembling the Department of Agriculture, he takes food out of children's mouths. Come on, get real here.
Okay.
You know, if you want to support somebody because you have certain fantasies about the man, go ahead. But at some point, you have to put your feet on the ground and realize what the guy stands for and what he'll do. Jesus,
well,
that's not hard.
When guns and butter, Hillary Clinton, gets elected, and when she expands these wars to God knows how many.
Now wait
wars,
a second. You called in to talk about Ron Paul, not Hillary Clinton.
Well,
you gave me one sentence about Ron Paul that I turned into meatloaf, and now you want to talk about Hillary Clinton.
No,
go back to Ron Paul. What else would Ron Paul do?
You're wrong because you didn't.
No. I'm not wrong because you say I'm not wrong because you say I'm wrong. You know, I can say you're the Pope.
But you are wrong.
I can say you're the Pope. That doesn't make you the Pope. Either you don't understand the food stamp program, or you are so taken with Ron Paul that you choose not to educate yourself on what he represents and who he is. Now, if you want to do that, go ahead. There are millions of so-called Christians in this country who do the same thing with Jesus. They totally ignore what the man Jesus is really saying and go after their own agenda and say, I'm a Jesus supporter. There's also, apparently, hundreds of thousands of Americans in this country who do the same thing with Ron Paul. You don't have a clue, apparently, based on the little bit that you were willing to talk about what you believe Ron Paul stands for before you switch to Hillary. You don't have a clue what Ron Paul stands for. I'm not saying that's wrong. If you want to support somebody that you don't understand, go ahead. Here's where I draw the line. Don't call my program and present as fact your fictions. That's all. It's about 10 before the hour. Thanks to the crew, Ian Huth, who engineered the program in Phoenix at KPHX and answered your phone calls. Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent. Billy Foster, who does something very important for this program. Not sure what it is, but thanks to Billy, too, and also Catherine Bay, our executive producer. Usual gang of bandits who put everything together tonight. Moving right along, Steve is calling from Dallas, Texas, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Mike, your mom here?
Yes, sir.
Hey, man, how you doing? I love the program.
Thank you.
Been following you for about a year. My uncle actually turned me on to you, and I listen every night.
Well, appreciate it.
The question, I want to preface my question by letting you know a little bit of my background. I come from a blue-collar family. I spent, you know, some time in this Iraq war. I'm 28 years old. I was discharged 2 years ago because of an injury, and I was lucky enough to land a job in the oil field.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to ask you about the S-CHIP bill. Now, I'm the only Democrat in a Republican family, and you know, my father, who's an auto mechanic, owns an auto repair shop, still has my brother and sister at home. You know, they're ages 14 and 15.
Uh-huh.
And he supported Bush's vetoing of this bill, and I called him tonight, and I asked him, he was in the middle of watching Bill O, and I said, man, how can you support that? I mean, you know, you can't afford health insurance for you or mom or my brother and sister. How can you support an administration that is basically saying, you know, F you to America's middle class, while we are the backbone of this country, all, you know, even though we're shrinking.
Right.
And he had basically no answer for it. And I just wanted to ask you, I mean, what kind of you know, our elected representatives, including our president, are supposed to act in the best interests of the people that put them in office, correct?
You'd think.
What in the hell is going on there? It seems like this administration is doing everything it can to squash the middle class, you know, to put their boot on the, even harder on the throat of those that are poverty stricken. I mean, it's insane. It doesn't make any sense.
Well,
you know, I don't mind paying taxes, but you know, I want my taxes to go towards something good. You know, I want our guys to come home. I was there. I've still got a lot of friends that are over there, and you know, it's okay for me if my tax dollars go towards health care, education, Meals on Wheels.
Sure.
It doesn't make any sense to me. It doesn't compute. And I'll hang up and I'll listen to your response.
All right, Steve. Thanks for checking in, pal. I do appreciate it. As far as your dad is concerned, I don't know. I don't understand how people can support politicians who work against America's self-interest. Either it is in the interest of this country to have a vibrant economy, which we don't. It's vibrant for the top 1 or 2%. Either this country is interested in clean, abundant water, which we don't have any longer, air that can be breathed, which we don't have any longer, on and on, food that isn't tainted with garbage, which in so many instances we don't have any longer, a strong military to use if we're ever attacked, which we don't have any longer. George W. Bush and the Republicans that came into office in 1994 with their contract on America and Newt Gingrich have literally destroyed the country. George W. Bush, after he and his thugs on the Supreme Court stole the election in 2000, in 7 years, they have taken a country that was really on the road to recovery. And again, I don't want to give a whole lot of credit to Bill Clinton because while he deserves some credit, he certainly does. I don't want to make it sound like I'm a great Clinton supporter because I'm not. I'm also not a Clinton basher. You know, he did what he did, and it worked to a certain extent. During Clinton's 8 years, Again, I've quoted this many times. Now, a single American soldier died in combat anywhere on Earth. Now, granted, we killed people. That's because we used an air war in Serbia, and the people who decided on that war, NATO, felt it was justified. I don't want to get into that too deeply, but Bush has destroyed the country. In the process of destroying the country, there has been on the air for the past 15 years a constant drumbeat of right-wingers who lie, who give half-truths, misinformation, disinformation, whether it's Rush Limbaugh or the pig from the West Coast, Mike Savage, or the pig from the East Coast, Sean Hannity, or numerous little piglets that run around the airwaves in this country, telling people to act in a manner that is destructive to their own best interest. And apparently, Steve, those people have gotten to your dad. I mean, that's the only rational answer I can come up with. It is not rational to support keeping children off of a health care program that is partially funded by tax dollars that would cost over 7 years $35 billion when we spend that much in 3 months on destroying Iraq. Son of a bitch. I'm like you, Steve. I don't get it. Republicans are insane, and they demonstrate their insanity the minute they wake up in the morning until the moment they go to sleep. I'm not suggesting your dad is insane. I'm just saying Republicans as a group are just whacked. I've never seen anything like it. So I don't know what to tell you, Steve. Just keep working on your old man. Maybe someday he'll come around, I guess. I don't know. Thanks for participating in the program tonight. I appreciate it. I'll see you tomorrow night. Okay, take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.